This is Spoleta Today. I'm Jeanette Gwen. Cellist Christopher Costanza performs on the Chamber Music Series at Dock Street Theater, and he's our guest this morning. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
You play an exceptional instrument. Tell us about it and how it came to your hands.
Oh, this is a fantastic cello. It doesn't actually belong to me. It belongs to Stanford University, where I teach. It's part of the, I think it's called the Lang Collection of Instruments at Stanford. It's housed right in our music building. And the collection consists of dozens of instruments, actually, not just stringed instruments, but a large number of violins, several cellos and violas. And many believe that this cello is kind of the prized possession of the collection. Or I like to think so, anyhow. But it is a cello that was made probably in about 1710, 1715. And it is said to have been made by two different people. The bulk of the instrument, minus the top, was made by a Venetian maker named Francesco Gobetti. And the top, which must have been replaced at some point, is said to have been made by Joseph Guarneri. But there are those who say it could be something different. We do know that it is probably about 300 years old. And I'm always curious to get instrument experts' opinions on the possible background of the instrument.
So besides being old, what makes Venetian instruments special?
Well, this instrument in particular, and some other Venetian instruments I've encountered, and then we could extend that to include even other instruments from that period of time in Italy, Cremona, for example, and various other places in the country. There's, we like to say, a sort of depth of sound color. We like to talk about it in layers. So there's a richness to the sound that goes from the lowest possible type of resonance all the way to the top. And I'm not just talking range of the instrument. I'm just saying you play any note on the instrument and you feel like there's a thickness to the sound that just kind of happens on its own, assuming you're pulling the bow across the string properly. And there's a lot of character in that richness. This particular cello, and I think, well, I've certainly noticed it in other Venetian instruments, has a wonderful lower end. The C and G strings are, in particular, are incredibly rich and resonant, which is very helpful for someone in a string quartet because it's, you know, you really want to know that you're providing that bass foundation to a lot of the repertoire that you're playing.
What's your favorite piece you're performing on the Chamber Music Series this year?
Oh, that's a tough one. This year, I'm playing on every single concert. It's 11 different programs times three, plus a couple of bonus shows, the Bank of America concert and one informal one. So I guess I'll be playing 35 times by the time I leave here. So that's a tough one. So we still have pieces coming up. Really looking forward to Schumann Piano Quintet, for example. I loved playing the Dvorak Piano Quartet at the beginning. The Haydn Opus 20 No. 3 String Quartet was a standout. I love Haydn quartets, love the Opus 20 Haydn quartets. And so those three stand out when I give it a little bit of thought. But there are highlights all along the way, from other composers as well and various other pieces.
How much time do you spend practicing?
It varies so much nowadays. The quartet will rehearse as much as 4 hours a day when we're back at home in Stanford. I try to get a couple of hours in a day myself, just by myself, to work on essentially solo repertoire. And I do have a number of solo things coming up in the next few weeks. And so I'm trying to, even while I'm here and working pretty hard for the Spoleto Festival, to get that kind of practice time in so that I can stay on top of things coming up. But, you know, when growing up, you know, the idea is you practice as much as possible, perhaps. When I was at conservatory, I was trying to get, you know, 5-6 hours a day in when I could. Did that pretty consistently for a while. Although I read Arnold Steinhardt, the great violinist of the Guarneri Quartet, in his first book, Indivisible by Four, talks about that special time when you're young, when you really have to put the hours in. And one of the reasons he discusses that is that when you get older, just practically speaking, you don't have that kind of time. You know, there are so many other things going on. You have your rehearsals, you have family obligations, you have teaching, you have so many things to occupy, and legitimately so, your hours. So when you're young, I mean, of course, other reasons you want to practice a lot when you're young. You're in these formative stages, and your brain is developing, and you're learning things for the first time. But I'm grateful that I was, or I was at least nudged enough to practice that many hours early on, because I think that sort of set me up to be able to survive nowadays with the kinds of schedules that I have to deal with.
What do you do when your students don't practice?
Well, that's a really good question. And I have to have a specific perspective on it, teaching at Stanford. We have very interesting, very smart students at Stanford. Most are not music majors. We don't have a conservatory. Ours is a department of music in the humanities and sciences school. I have a few students now who I honestly believe would get into a conservatory if they auditioned, but just don't want to go down that path. But each of those students will have periods of time where he or she will have plenty of practice time and make great progress. And we'll have other periods of time where they have almost no time to practice just because of the demands of the classes that they're taking at Stanford. They may be math majors or doing human biology, pre-med, whatever the case may be. And as long as I feel like I have an honest and open communication with them, if they can come in and tell me, you know, I had three midterms this week and problem sets to solve and all sorts of things of that nature that I know those sorts of things take hours and hours. And I don't want to simply say, okay, it's fine if you don't practice. I tell them, do something. You have some concentrated period of practice every day if you can, and you'll make at least some progress, or you'll maintain what you're doing and you won't digress. And like I say, I had have some students who are able to fit in quite a lot of practice. I have a freshman now. He played Dvorak concerto with a local orchestra recently. He's only 18 years old, and he's won competitions, and he's been able to manage his schedule pretty well this year. We'll see what future years hold for him.
Chris, thank you for your music and your time today.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Our guest has been Christopher Costanza. He'll be performing in the chamber music series at the Dock Street Theater. This is Spoleto Today. I'm Jeanette Gwynn.